Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's treat all their customers individually, like they're the most important individual in the world. So whether it's the right insurance or the right price, or whether it's time to handle a claim, they are right there for you. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Now our play-by-play call of the day. Merrill Reese with the call as the Eagles turn things around against the Giants.
Manning in the shotgun. Standing confidently, calling for the football. Takes it, looks, steps into his throw, and it's knocked away, and it's intercepted! It is picked off by Thurman! Down the left side he goes! To the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown! Walter Thurman, his fourth of the season, and the Eagles can take the lead!
Eagles won it yesterday, and we bring in the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Brandon Gowton. Brandon, congratulations. Big shoes to fill.
Thank you. No, it's a big honor. I'm glad to accept.
There was an article in the Houston Chronicle. I want to start there. And it was Solomon was the writer. It may have been Jarvis Solomon, I think. But he said the difference between Chip Kelly and Bill O'Brien is this. Bill O'Brien, because of his experience with the Patriots, understood that pro football players are men, and he treats them that way. And it's a conversation I've had with him before. So, I mean, that sounds exactly like the guy that he's talking about. And Chip Kelly understood college players and did not understand how to treat men in the NFL. Your thoughts on that kind of statement?
I think there's definitely an issue with how Chip Kelly related to his players in the locker room. I think we saw that when Jeffrey Lurie said last week that what they're looking for in a new head coach is something called emotional intelligence. That's the exact word he used. And it almost seemed like he was, you know, indirectly taking a shot at Chip Kelly there, really saying, you know, that's something they have lacked with him and something they really are going to value in a new head coach. And then you even saw some of the players said it. Lane Johnson last week said in the locker room that he felt like Chip Kelly was unapproachable at times. Other players said, you know, that they get the same kind of feeling. I mean, we saw it when Brandon Boykin got traded away in the summer, and he said that, you know, it was hard to relate to Chip Kelly at times. So it definitely seemed like there was an issue there where Chip Kelly didn't have the full support of the people around him.
In the end, did the Riley Cooper situation become a rallying point for players against Chip Kelly? Because he shipped out Jackson, he shipped out LeSean McCoy, but he didn't ship out Riley Cooper.
I don't think it helped, but I don't think that was the only thing. I think, you know, believe it or not, I think Riley Cooper is actually well-liked by his teammates, and I think that's part of why the Eagles did bring him back. I think, you know, there was a lot of support for him in that locker room, believe it or not. I know Jeremy Maclin at the time, you know, a big supporter of his. Michael Vick stood up for him. So Cooper did have his supporters, but I'm sure, you know, it didn't sit well with everyone, obviously. You know, so that probably could have been a contributing factor.
Because it seems like that there are others that have made a big deal out of Riley Cooper staying. And I don't mean you. I don't mean me. We'll leave Kevin out of this for the moment. But there are others on the outside that have made a big deal out of Riley Cooper staying after some of the things that he said off the cuff and then other players being shipped out. I mean, and I just wanted to know, at least from your perspective, if that's reality or if it's just talking heads.
I think, like you said, I think it's a factor. I think a big issue there, too, is just the fact that Riley Cooper hasn't been a very good player. There's, you know, 7 games this year out of the 16 where he didn't even make a catch. So it's not only what happened off the field, but it's also he's not producing on it. And when you combine those things, you know, I think people start to raise questions.
All right, so what about the possibility of Doug Peterson? What have you heard there?
It's interesting because that report came up on yesterday on Sunday, early ESPN. I believe Adam Schefter was the first to report. And, you know, that kind of makes some sense because Jeffrey Lurie, in his press conference, was kind of alluding to a guy who, quote, you know, knows the city, understands Philadelphia, and, you know, who better than a player who actually, or a coach, rather, who used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson. And obviously having a lot of experience with former Eagles head coach Andy Reid as Reid's current offensive coordinator in Kansas City. But then a little bit after that, there was a report from CSN Philly's Derek Gunn that Peterson was not considered a top candidate. There's also, I think, an NJ.com report that Peterson is not considered a top candidate. So it seems like, you know, from what Jay Glazer said on Fox was that Andy Reid kind of suggested Peterson to the Eagles, but that doesn't necessarily mean the Eagles shared the same interest.
Hmm. What kind of shape were the Philadelphia Eagles in when Chip Kelly took the job, and what kind of shape are they in today?
I don't think they were in such an awesome position when Andy Reid left. I thought, you know, a lot of people at the time were talking about how, you know, Andy Reid had kind of left the cupboard bare. You know, there were a lot of holes on the team at the time. They were 4-12, so, you know, they obviously weren't a good team at all. And they'd only gone 8-8 year before after starting 4-8 that year. They kind of won some meaningless games down the stretch in 2011. So, you know, it wasn't like the Eagles were in very good shape. I don't know that they're in much better shape now. I mean, they finished 7-9, so you think maybe they're not so far away. Bradford maybe possibly an answer at quarterback, which is a big deal, but definitely not a proven option by any means. I think one of the most concerning things about the Eagles is, you know, that Howie Roseman is still around, and he's essentially back in charge now. The Eagles aren't going to hire a general manager, but Howie Roseman is going to have a say in personnel, and I think that's a concern because you look at how, you know, he was kind of ousted when Chip Kelly apparently, you know, forced control. And if Roseman was that good, I feel like he shouldn't lose his job. So for him to come back now, and there have already been reports of how Roseman has pushed people out of the Eagles front office and things like that. And there's also a report about how Roseman had a part in pushing Chip Kelly out. You know, that might not be so attractive to new head coaches.
The Eagles will also have the 13th overall pick at this hour in the NFL draft. What direction do they need to go in?
I think everyone's looking at offensive line early. I mean, you look at this offensive line, and the Eagles haven't drafted an offensive lineman since Lane Johnson in 2013. You're looking at a guy like Jason Peters who's getting up there. He still thinks he can play at left tackle, but we saw this year that he was getting banged up and he struggled at times. So it really remains to be seen how much longer of a career he has in Philadelphia. You know, the Eagles can save, I think, about over $6 million or so by cutting him. So that might be something the Eagles have to do. And if they do that, and even if they don't do that, and Peters is back, I mean, the offensive line is still a big need. They could really upgrade at almost any of those positions aside from center. And you're looking at, you know, offensive tackle obviously being the most important, but ideally, you know, any of those spots there, I mean, they need talent there. So I think that's the big position everyone's looking at early.
How do you view the Sam Bradford situation, Brandon?
You know, it's so tough. I mean, there's a lot of factors in play. I think you have to start with, you know, the new head coach. You know, does the new head coach want him? And obviously we won't know that because we don't know yet who they're going to hire. But that's going to be a huge factor. Also a big factor if Sam Bradford even wants to come back. You know, is he going to like the coach? So, and then is the money going to be right, which is obviously the most important thing overall in the end, because if the Eagles want to keep him and they make the money right, you know, there's a good chance he'll stay. It's just a matter of, is that worth it to them? You know, should the Eagles do that? Because he's injury prone, and for as decent as he played down the stretch, you know, still not lighting the world on fire by any means. So it's a really complicated situation because, you know, Bradford isn't the most proven option, but he might be the best option the Eagles have at this point.
All right. Now, the Eagles did not finish in last place, but the Redskins have become the 12th team in the last 13 years to go from last to the playoffs. You know, this is a league where you can make moves quickly. The Eagles made apparently about as many moves as anybody in the offseason last year with Chip Kelly trying to turn over the roster. How much roster movement do you expect, does it, your gut tell you, that we'll see between now and training camp?
I would expect a decent amount. I mean, anytime you have a new head coach coming in, and the Eagles are also expected to hire a new personnel chief, not quite a general manager, someone who is actually going to be working with the new head coach and Howie Roseman in a kind of collaborative effort. So anytime you have those new guys in, you know, they're going to want their own guys. They're not going to necessarily want the ideals that Chip Kelly wanted, which was players he focused more on height and weight, speed, things like that. He always talked about wanting bigger players, things like that, you know. So we don't really know the new philosophy here. You know, there's going to be a good amount of turnover. But at the same time, you know, there's certain players who are locked into big deals. You know, you look at Byron Maxwell, DeMarco Murray, some of the players those Eagles signed last year, you know, because of contracts and things like that, they're going to be locked in for now.
Well, we're going to lock you to a longer-term contract with us, too. We like your stuff.
I appreciate it.
Brandon, thanks so much. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, you too. Take care.
Brandon Gowden, BleedingGreenNation.com. Nathan Davis, bottom of the hour. Bucknell off to a 2-0 start in the Patriot. Coming back home to play American. We'll talk more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Okay, on our website, Kevin has what's the best playoff matchup. Sure. I always love poll questions these days. Okay, sure.
Well, these poll questions are tough because you have to make them, you know, multiple choice answers, so it can't be anything, you know, deep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What's your favorite color uniform? Okay, good. Yeah, sure.
oh, my goodness. So the Steelers are in. They're the most dangerous team. They'll get to the Super Bowl unless they completely foul it up.
Well, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it's
no bad karma allowed.
I'm just telling you. I mean, unless they completely foul it up, and they could. I mean, they could foul it up badly. Yeah, it's a distinct possibility.
Yeah. You know, their defense is playoff ready. A.J. McCarron looks like he is the guy that is going to start at quarterback. There'll be some posturing about Andy Dalton, but I think if the Bengals had the bye week, if they've been able to be the number two seed, I think he would have played the next round, but A.J. McCarron is going to be the quarterback, I think, in all likelihood against the Steelers, which, I mean, just hands it to them on a silver platter in terms of the ability to win this thing. They're going to have to do it all on the road, which is fine.
It's been done before by the Steelers.
Right. That's irrelevant.
Why is it irrelevant?
It's relevant for Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay, there you go. I'll agree with that.
It is irrelevant to everybody else because they didn't do it.
Well, Harrison, was he there? Was he there for 40? He's old enough to be there.
I'm sure he was fined several times that season.
See, I opened the door for you. I gave you a freebie. You owe me one.
Yeah. Captain Fine. But it's irrelevant for everybody else.
I mean, Antonio Brown's never had to do it before. I mean, this guy, they haven't had to do it.
But the thing is, the first game you get on the road is not a is not a road game that there won't be any Steeler fans to. I mean, that's not a bad trip if you're a Steeler fan and you can get tickets.
Right. I mean, but the playoff game's a little bit different. More fans are willing to sell their tickets in the regular season. Not so well, when it comes to the postseason play. Not so for postseason play. It's an easy prep for both teams. They know each other inside and out. It's no big deal.
What's the over-under, though, on 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalties?
Well, if Harrison plays, it's going to be a bundle.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
Between Burfict and
Harrison. I was going to say, what about Burfict? You're not going to mention Burfict in that?
Burfict and Harrison, you're talking about, I mean,
Burfict may get a fine before the game even starts.
I mean, these are the Conrad Doblers of a new era. So the familiarity is there. The Patriots have a huge problem because the offensive line for the Patriots is so poor right now. It's the poorest it's been under with Brady at quarterback. He led the league in being under duress this year. 35.1% of his passes were under pressure this year. That was number one in the NFL. Number one. So he hasn't had the smooth pie. Vollmer's been hurt. I mean, they've got rookies playing. It's not easy. It's not easy trying to play with a depleted offensive line. Have you noticed locally? I mean, Brady's struggling with it. Manning at least gets another week to get better. His mind, especially at home, becomes a huge factor in this. The ability not just to get you into the right play, but the ability to get you out of a bad play. And playing at home, he's got all the freedom where he doesn't have to exert himself because the crowd will be quiet and let him call out what he needs. It's going to be like practice. Now, whether his arm's strong enough to get him through this, we'll see. I mean, he threw a couple passes yesterday, and he threw the ball well. You know, it doesn't have the velocity Roethlisberger has, but he threw it well. And if the Steelers win, they get Denver next. Because the Steelers are the sixth seed, and if they win, they get the Broncos.
Tebow's not playing in that game, is he?
No, a professional quarterback is. Hall of Famer. I think we just went through all the attributes. Not only that, but defensively, the Broncos have played some great defense. The one area, though, that really strikes you about Denver's defense is the insistence of Wade Phillips of playing man-to-man all the time. He mans up those corners all the time. So
I don't know if you can get away with that with the Steelers' wide receiving core.
Well, they didn't in the second half of the game in Pittsburgh. First half they got away with it. You can get some pressure. This is where Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, because I think Ware didn't play yesterday. I don't think. I think that Ware was held out. So that's the AFC. Kansas City, Houston will be intriguing. Now, in the NFC, the Redskins, who had a great year, get a great matchup in the first round. The Packers can't score. I think it's a great matchup for Washington at home. Cousins has played well. I think he's been a little bit better protected by his offensive line than Rodgers has. The offensive line for the Packers is a mess. Josh Sitton, the Pro Bowl left guard, has been forced to play left tackle now. That's a big difference. So he's been forced to do that. Clay Matthews is going to be a real issue for them to deal with, along with Julius Peppers, no question.
Will the Packers get Sam Shields back at corner? He did not play last night against Minnesota. Washington's playing at home. Cousins has been accurate. Defensively, they played well. The Redskins have a lot of confidence right now. I think, though, that as much as we've looked at Arizona, and I really like Arizona a lot, I think the Tyrann Mathieu injury is a huge injury in this tournament.
By the way, we are trying to solidify time this week for Larry Michael. He was not available last week, but we're going to try and get him on this week to talk about the Redskins playoff game.
Well done. Nathan Davis as Bucknell off to a 2-0 start in the Patriot. We'll talk to the head coach of the Bison next on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this valley for decades. They have found the right price and the best insurance for their customers. Oh, and when there's a claim, fear not, they are all over it for you and will take care of business. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And time now for Nathan Davis, who is the head coach of Bucknell. Coach, Happy New Year, and 2-0 start in the Patriot League. Great to have you with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me again. Happy New Year to you as well.
All right. Life is okay when you get 40 points from your star. I mean, what kind of zone did Chris Haas get into for you?
I've been fortunate in my time to see a bunch of guys go on his own, but 32 points in the first half is probably the top of the list. he was unbelievable. I mean, it was, we looked at each other on the bench and go, all right, we're just going to throw the ball and tell everyone to get out of the way.
Literally, is that what he ends up looking at each other saying, you know what, look, let's just run a bunch of stuff for him until finally the horse can't go anymore?
That's basically what we said. We said, let's not overcomplicate this and do anything, just run him off something. See what happens.
What a joy. Then the two wins in the Patriot, have you played a little bit better defensively?
We have been night and day defensively since the non-conference and the last two games. We've been active. We've been locked in, focused on detail, flying around. You name it, we've been. It's been night and day, and it's been fun to watch from a coaching standpoint.
Why is that? Just the fact that suddenly sometimes the light goes on for them because it is a young team? Is that part of it?
I think that's part of it. I think that guys finally decided they'd had enough and wanted to be better defensively and took it upon themselves to do so. They took it seriously. And I think that seeing it be effective and what happened only helps the cause.
Not being in school right now, it's been a basketball-only situation. Has that allowed you to revisit and lock in more in fundamentals instead of just the grind of going game to game?
I think one of the big things it does is it gets you more on a set schedule. Like you saw today, we have to go this afternoon, so we're not going late at night after class. We have everyone's full attention. We kind of get in a routine with lifting and practice and being able to get shots up and all that stuff. So it's just a nicer, easier routine for them compared to the rigors of a Bucknell education with all that class going on as well.
How important is film to you with the players, and what do you try to lock in the film sessions with them?
What you want to show is it's got to be for teaching purposes, and we're big on it. We show film really every day. Every day that we aren't playing, we're showing them film. And you want to pick out a couple things, and it could vary from game to game or on what you need to improve. You can't fix seven or eight things at one time, so you're trying to pick out two or three things offensively and defensively you can address on film. And as always, the film doesn't lie. We have smart guys, so we can show them how it's supposed to work, what they did wrong, how it needs to be corrected. They typically can carry it over on the court. And so, again, it goes back to with not having class. We have a nice routine going. We can do that. Go on four, get loose. We're not rushing to get through stuff. We have time.
Are you starting now to find maybe some chemistry and some cohesion on the floor?
I think so, especially, I mean, we have several guys out, which has been unfortunate at this time, but we were able to fight through it, and guys stepped up and made plays. But I think guys are starting to feel comfortable playing together, starting to understand what's going on around them, getting used to each other's strengths and weaknesses, and starting to play more to those.
I know you've had guys out, but how deep do you look at analytics? And in particular, do you get analytics that go as deep to tell you what combinations do and do not work?
I haven't been as much as far as that goes, but no, we do look at analytics closely. We look at effective field goal percentage. We look at points per possession. Those types of things we're big on. But okay. As far as like this lineup, I mean, you can kind of tell as games are going on, if you're constantly with the same group on the floor and you're in a drought, it might be time to move on. Or just that.
You'd be amazed how results in front of your face draw an impression.
Sometimes what you see is actually right.
Yeah, sometimes, no doubt. You scored more in the second half, and that's been a trend for you this year. And that's usually typical. There's usually a lot more fouls called in the second half. But what's allowed you to be a little bit better offensively as a scoring team in the second half of games?
Well, I think, one, with our depth and the style of play, I think we can wear people out a little bit, and that helps. And the other day, it just came back to we had other guys make more shots. It was an aberration the way it went in the first half where Chris was only making shots. The other guys are typically shooting close to 50% as a group from two, and we're just missing shots. And it turned around where they were trying to take Chris away, and we played unselfishly. And those guys got shots that they can typically knock down, and they did.
Have you... 73% at the free throw line as a team so far this year. That's a really good mark. Have you been able to take full advantage of it, though?
I think in the last couple games we had, we put a big emphasis, like you mentioned, like not having class, now of being able to get in the gym and get some extra free throws off. It's the only way you can get good at it, and it's carried over the last two games. I think we made 90% against Navy, and then we came back going 22 of 28 the other day for 78%. If you can do that, you're going to be in a position to win a lot of games.
What have you seen in the development of Nana Folland?
He's a really good player. He gets beat on a lot in the post and hasn't finished as well as I think he would like the last few games, but we know that's going to come around. The biggest thing we've seen with him is there's times where he is just almost dominating defensively. He's getting out on the perimeter and he's getting away. He's rotating over and helping on drive. So a lot, I should say, I mean, I mentioned defense. One of the big things that's helped us is he's really come on defensively over the last week or so as far as protecting the rim for us.
Are there times where you'd like to see your outside players funnel them toward Nana because of how he's been able to play around the rim?
To an extent. I mean, there's certain places we want the ball to be pushed to. I don't think that, like, we have talented guys, but it's not like we're Kentucky last year that's got seven Lowry picks running around. So we're trying to funnel them to certain areas before we know where our help's coming from. And that's been a part of it. We've done a pretty good job with that.
Man, I'll tell you, wouldn't it be nice to be Coach Cal, roll the ball out, and just say, here we go.
I'll give you a great story. This is one of my favorite ones. I was at a clinic this year, doing a clinic, and we were talking to somebody afterwards, and guy was talking about going to a clinic with Jim Boeheim. And high school coach asked a question about what do you do when they do this, against the 2-3 zone. He says, I don't understand. Come on down here, and can you draw it up for me? And he starts drawing up. He goes, oh, Coach Boeheim goes, oh, I get it. He goes, what's the answer? He goes, you need bigger X's.
Oh, Joe Paterno always said, he said, you can give me any play you want. I would really like to know the name that's inside the circle and the name that's supposed to be the X. He says,
absolutely.
When I know the names of those guys, I will tell you whether the play will work or not.
Absolutely. Give me LeBron James, Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis. We can do whatever we want.
You got that right. And guess what? I think you'll be sold out.
I would think so. I would think so.
I would think so along the way, too. I know we've mentioned Zach Thomas a couple of times, but I wanted to ask about one of the older players. Don Hoffman just seems to give you everything he's got every time out. Is that a fair statement on his behalf?
Oh, absolutely. He's a guy that's willing to get in there and do the dirty work. He doesn't need to score to feel like he's contributing. And so he flies around, he screens, he talks, he does all those things that, that don't make in the box score that you need to be successful.
Are there players that you have you would like to see actually be a little more selfish?
It's a good question. I think for the most part, I think there's times where every guy can honestly passes up some shots they should take. But then there's also times where every guy takes some shots they shouldn't take. So it's hard to say I wish he would be a little more selfish. I think the better answer is I wish he'd be smarter.
I'm willing to wager that you can pick out all the times that they shouldn't have taken the shot. You can remember them off the top of your head.
I can pick out a bunch of those, yes.
Yeah. Give me a little thumbnail on American and what makes that a tough matchup for you on Wednesday night.
Well, first, Mike Brand does a great job. I mean, he won the league his first year as the head coach there. He gets back to the finals last year. They've had a lot of turnover this year, and so they're young. But what they are is they're very disciplined offensively. They will take their time. They're going to force you to guard multiple things each time down. They're not going to rush through it. They're going to make you be disciplined. They're going to try to get back and get five guys back in defense and transition. So they're going to make you earn every stop and every point. They're going to make you earn.
It'll be 7 o'clock in Soika on Wednesday night. Absolute pleasure, Coach. Thanks for being with us. Enjoyed it very much. Good luck.
Thanks a lot. You too.
Okay. Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Oh, I'm so glad we could get together. You know, I feel like I haven't seen you in ages.
I know, me too. We've just been so busy. But hey, I haven't told you. We're buying our first home.
Oh, that's great news. I'm so happy for you. I know it's a great time to buy a home, but we wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, that's what I thought too. But we got help from the Pennsylvania Housing Finance Agency. They provide free counseling to help you decide if you're actually ready for buying a home. And they have counselors located all across Pennsylvania.
But I don't know if Bob and I make enough money to buy a home. I mean, I'm only working part-time.
Well, the counseling helps you decide that. And the Pennsylvania Housing Finance Agency also provided us with a loan that helped with our down payment and closing costs.
It sure would be great to own our own place.
Well, just go to their website at phfa.org and click where it says home buyers. Their phone number's on the site, too.
Okay, I'll check it out. Thanks.
You may actually be able to afford that home. Learn more from the Pennsylvania Housing Finance Agency at phfa.org.
Hello, this is Justin Michaels of Surplus Outlet. If you're looking to save money, look no further than Surplus Outlet for all your grocery needs. No matter the time of the year or what holiday season, at Surplus Outlet, we strive to give you below wholesale prices every day. That includes quality name brands at everyday low prices. When you shop week after week at Surplus Outlet, you'll find you'll have enough money left over to treat yourself. I invite you to stop and check out our daily new arrivals of groceries and much more. By shopping at Surplus Outlet, you're investing in yourself and seeing the investment return filling up your pockets immediately. Our stores are fully stocked with all your grocery needs, including lunch, meats and cheeses, milk, bread, fresh produce, fresh meats, poultry, laundry and cleaning items, paper items, pet products, and so much more. We all want our dollar to go further and feel that we got the best buy for that dollar. At Surplus Outlet, we take saving you money seriously. Our philosophy has always been much different than the big box stores. We live here and work here in your community, and we believe it's our responsibility to help our neighbors.
Surplus Outlet, Route 11 Northumberland, Route 11 Berwick, and Route 15 Montgomery. Sign up for Facebook and email alerts for additional special savings. As we say, go ahead, do it today.
Oh, my stars, Drew. What are you doing?
Hey, Lisa Barrick. Well, kid left for college, and it's time to make some changes.
Drew, resale value is key, and eliminating a bedroom is a bad idea.
Even if it's for my huge mousetrap collection?
Ooh, that's gotta hurt. Buying or selling, resale value is always a factor. Let me help you maximize your real estate investment. Call me, Lisa Barrick, at Coldwell Banker Penn 1 Real Estate, 524-7500 or coldwellbankerpenn1.com.
Great talking to Nathan Davis today. A lot of fun. And, Greg Pickle from PennLive.com and the Patriot News, and Brandon Gowden, BleedingGreenNation.com. Later in the week, we're going to have Bobby Bell on. We'll put Bobby Bell on tomorrow. Why not? The Hall of Fame linebacker. Bobby Bell finished third in the Heisman, helped Minnesota win their last national championship, was a part of the Rose Bowl winning team, played in Super Bowl I, played and won in Super Bowl IV, and is in the College and Pro Football Hall of Fames. Outland Trophy winner, third in the Heisman. Not bad. So, he will be on the show. I think people enjoy hearing some of the all-time greats on the show, like Lem Barney and people like that. And then obviously when we have Jack on. The layers, and I referred to this earlier, the layers of this sanction stuff with Penn State. Again, Penn State will have 85 scholarship players. Yeah, maybe they'll have 83, but they have the option of getting to right to 85. For the first time since 2011, 2016 is the first time since the 2011 season they'll be at 85. Has anybody thought of that? I mean, think about it. I mean, that's a layer of this that I think a lot of people have not understood. USC got down to 75, and they were forced to stay at 75 through the entire deal. And USC has been good but not great the entire time. And where have they been good and not great? They've been good and not great in the offensive line. They've been good and not great with their running game. Kessler, the quarterback. A shorter version of Christian Hackenberg, but a good thrower, good college quarterback in the whole deal. Up and down at USC. I mean, there's so many parallels between the two. But they never had to drop down into the 60s and rebuild it. And USC's had a lot of pub nationally, only a lot of people on their bandwagon, but they've gone from Lane Kiffin to Steve Sarkisian, now to Clay Helton, and that's, you look at what they've done at USC. I mean, Texas is one. If you're a Texas fan, you got a legitimate complaint about where you are. You've had nothing except your own, except you getting in your way. You've had 85 scholarships. You've had no issues. And you're all good. And that's the interesting part about it. USC, let's see, where have they been here record-wise?
You know, while you're looking at that, one of the things you mentioned was the Longhorn Network losing so much money. I really never thought that would be a moneymaker. I can understand the SEC Network, the Pac-12, the Big Ten. The Longhorn Network, I mean, you're really limited there, aren't you?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the players and coaches will tell you how intrusive it is because they're constantly looking for programming.
Well, yeah, it's a 24/7 network about one team or one university's teams.
Right. And that's a big
So they're constantly talking to everybody all the time.
I mean, I can't even see with the draw of Notre Dame being able to get away with something like that and make money.
Not even they can do that.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I don't think that. I don't even see that happen.
Right. Let's see. 2009, USC finished 9-4. Okay. 20-10, they hire Lane Kiffin. They ended up 8-5. And this is when the sanctions came in. So they go 8-5. 2011. And again, 8-5, they get the 75 scholarships. They went 7-2 in the conference in 11, but ineligible to participate in a bowl game or in the Pac-12 championship game because of, or what was the Pac-10 championship game? Utah and Colorado weren't in yet. Because they don't want to give up the spot. That's the reason why. 2012, ranked number one, finished 7-5. 2013, went 10-4. 2015, go 8-5. Okay. Now that's maintaining at 75 scholarships. So they've essentially done about the same thing, about the same as Penn State's done, with the, but they, in 2 years, they had 11 more scholarships to work with. Penn State was down to 64. So, you know, they lost 10 scholarships per year. They weren't restricted in the roll back to 64 and then get limited on scholarships. The road back for Penn State's been longer, accelerated a bit by the fact that you know, they go to a bowl game, get back to 85 faster and so forth. Now, what does it tell you that the NCAA never gave anything back to USC? What does that tell you? But again, when you look at where is USC right now, powerful program, never finished under 500 in this whole thing. But what do they need? Okay? They need offensive linemen. I mean, they just went through 8-6. They said they went 8-5. They went 8-6. They've got problems at linebacker. They got problems in the offensive line. I mean, how familiar does this sound? Penn State is not the starter. Starters at linebacker are fine. But what does it tell you that Naeem Wortman gets hurt and Jason Kabinda has to be moved over and then Reeder up to make it happen? Then in the bowl game, Jake Cooper had to start because Troy got hurt on Tuesday. I mean, these are all the different layers to this. It just goes deeper than, I don't understand why they can't beat Michigan. All right, well, it goes deeper than just that. Michigan has no sanctions and have had 85 guys the entire time, and they were able to get a fifth-year transfer quarterback that had started 3 years at Iowa to be their starter. So, they're, you know, and they're the oldest team in the league. Penn State will not be the oldest team in the league in 16. But Penn State will then start to transition to the upper regions of age in the league in 17. This is not a fun process to go through. And everyone knows it. That's why it's been incredible the way everybody's hung in with this thing so far. It's not a fun process. You know, you talk about the process, the process, the process. The process is absolutely real. But I didn't tell her, we're not going to sit here and tell you, though, it's an absolute blast to go through it every day either. I mean, there are a lot of issues that you've got to overcome. There's just layer after layer. Now, slowly but surely, you're checkmarking each layer as you go. For example, the last 2 years of recruiting,
it wasn't until very late in the recruiting process that Penn State found out they could have more scholarships. Well, this year they don't have that issue, so check mark that layer, that's off the board. Being able to be at 85 for the first time since 2011. Now, this is 2016 now. First time since 2011. Check mark that one. Do you have class balance? No, but you're getting better with that. But you don't have class balance yet because you're going to be heavily weighted with a couple of other classes. Do you have positional balance yet? No, but you're getting closer with that. It's not quite there yet, but you're getting closer with positional balance. And with depth, you're getting closer with depth. No question about that. But it's not an easy process, especially for the coaches, knowing exactly where the holes happen to be. And look, and USC's probably played with one arm pinned by its side. Penn State's had to play for a couple years with a hand tied behind its back.
And for news, weather.